From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Exceedingly Precious. The text is found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. A day is coming in which the crown jewels of our great king shall be counted, that it may be seen whether they answer to the inventory which his father gave him. My soul, wilt thou be among the precious things of Jesus? Thou art precious to him, if he is precious to thee, and thou shalt be his in that day, if he is thine in this day. In the days of Malachi, the chosen of the Lord were accustomed so to converse with each other that their God himself listened to their talk. He liked it so well that he took notes of it, yes, and made a book of it, which he lodged in his record office. Pleased with their conversation, he was also pleased with them. Pause, my soul, and ask thyself, if Jesus were to listen to thy talk, would he be pleased with it? Is it to his glory and to the edification of the brotherhood? Say, my soul, and be sure thou sayest the truth. But what will the honor be for us poor creatures to be reckoned by the Lord to be his crown jewels? This honor have all the saints. Jesus not only says, they are mine, but they shall be mine. He bought us, sought us, brought us in, and has so far wrought us to his image that we shall be fought for by him with all his might.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth.
thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of a message entitled, The Just Deserts of Sinners, another study on the theme, The Principles of Divine Judgment. The text is found in chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, which speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. Beginning with verse 8, the passage reveals the awful judgment of those who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Their fate is to suffer the wrath of God, which Paul describes as indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. These verses show the true state of sinners before a holy God. They are contentious. That is, they fight against God. In addition, they do not obey the truth, even though they know it. what sinners have rejected in time, they will receive in eternity. In the everlasting flames of hell, sinners will realize that they are suffering the just displeasure of God. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, The Just Deserts of Sinners.
Could I put it this way? Wrath speaks to me of God's revulsion against sin and sinners. Indignation speaks to me of God's repulsion of sin and sinners. Tribulation and anguish describe the experience of that wrath by the sinner. What an old Church of England bishop called the crushing and bewildering power of great grief or pain. This describes the wages of sin. And this is the punishment that sinners earn by their lives. You've heard me quote the text before. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Never forget it. You can mock a preacher, and I have no doubt there are times when some of you have. So what? You can mock a doctrine. And again, I have no doubt that some of you have. But you will not mock God. You may deceive a preacher. You may deceive a whole church. But you will not deceive God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A couple of weeks ago when we looked at this passage, I drew to your attention the words of Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. They're wonderful words for God's people, and what awful words for those who reject the Savior. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. God says to every rejecter of Christ, I will give you everything that you have worked for. This is the basic teaching of this text. It carries lessons that only a fool would dare to ignore, revealing as it does the judgment of God with powerful clarity. As you go out of this meeting tonight, you must take with you the certainty of this judgment. This is not my theory. This is not free Presbyterianism. This is not Protestantism. This is not some invention of a priestly caste to keep people in fear. This is the revelation of God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, judgment. It is my prayer tonight that as you go along life's journey, if you should be so foolish as to leave without Christ, that But as you go along life's journey, there will be a noise in your head like the rolling of a real train as wheels over the tracks, and that you will hear constantly, after this, after this, after this, the judgment. Certain. The universality of this judgment, it's to the Jew and to the Gentile. Without escape. For the rich and the poor, the black and the white, the religious and the irreligious, the churchgoer and the non-churchgoer, it is for you and me without exception. But though it's universal, it is individual. The individuality of this judgment is something that Paul here stresses. Verse 6, he speaks of every man. Verse 9, he speaks of every soul of man. Verse 10 again, he speaks of every man. The idea is of every individual. We stand before God, not as a group. There is a theory that talks about the judgment of the nations, as if God is going to stand America as a whole nation, or Britain as a whole nation, or Europe as a whole conglomeration. He's going to bring the billions of Chinese as one great lump. No, my friend, when he talks in Matthew 25 of the judgment of the nations, he's talking about the judgment of individuals out of every nation. As the rest of the chapter goes on to make unmistakably clear and plain, you stand before God alone. Alone, unless you stand before God with Christ. You can sin in a crowd. You can act the fool in a crowd. You can blaspheme in a crowd. You can drink in a crowd. You can do all the rest of it in a crowd. But man, when you come to die, you die alone. If there's a million people dying with you, you die individually, and you go out to stand before God individually. The individuality of the judgment, the inescapability of the judgment, every man, without exception. And I hope as you leave this building, you'll take with you the finality of it. For this is the great terminus of life in this world. From this, not only is there no escape, there is no appeal. There is no higher court, no second hearing. Remember, and I'll make more of this when we come back to the passage for another look at it from a different angle entirely. Remember, the judgment is not for God to discover whether you're a sinner. The judgment's not for God to discover anything. He knows it all. And he says, if you're an unbeliever, you're condemned already. The judgment is for you to discover just how vile you are, so that at the end of it, even from the depths of hell, you will have to cry, O God, Thou art just. It's a final thing. And these two studies, I've spoken about two groups of people. We're all going to stand before God. We're either going to stand in Christ and with Christ, or we're going to stand in the loneliness of a lost soul, stripped of his hypocrisy, his empty religion, his dead profession, stripped of his worldly companions and all the scenes of his sinning, a naked soul before God to be judged according to his deeds. I want to ask you, where do you stand? just two groups, not Jews and Gentiles, not Presbyterians and Baptists, not Episcopalians and Roman Catholics, not Americans and Iranians or Iraqis. Oh no, those things are going to pass by the board. Saved and unsaved. And where do you stand? I have put in your hand tonight an infallible way of knowing if you're still in your sin. If you're still a sinner, oh, I pray that God will convict you not only of that, but of the fact that Christ is the Savior of sinners. And Christ receiveth sinful men. It's not too late to start for heaven. The whole purpose of this passage is to convince the sinner to turn from his error and his sin and embrace Christ. To all who are under wrath, listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. So, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow before thee tonight because thou art God. Thou hast stamped the reality of thy being upon every one of us. As thy creatures, we cannot escape this fundamental reality and truth that God is. Everything in this world around us, even in its fallen and cursed state, hammers home to the conscience the eternal power and godhood of our God. We bow therefore before thee. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us the gospel. And yet, Lord, thou hast set that jewel of divine grace against the backdrop of unspeakable darkness and blackness, the blackness of human sin and depravity, the blackness and the darkness of a judgment that leads to eternal hell. Lord, we thank thee that the greater the darkness, the more brightly does the gem of the gospel shine. Oh, we pray that thou wilt open the eyes of the unsaved in this meeting tonight to behold the beauty of Christ. We ask thee that thou wilt give repentance unto life and faith unto eternal salvation and justification. God our Father, stop the contentions, the bitter wranglings, the wicked rejections of thy word and thy gospel. Stop those things, we pray tonight. Overwhelm sinners with the glorious revelation of thy grace. Overwhelm them with the guilt of their own sin and with the loveliness of Christ and his willingness to save them. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt search every heart. Lord, we note many a time that there are saints who tremble lest they know not Christ aright. And yet there are others so presumptuous that with no apparent evidence of grace, they blithely and glibly make profession and so inure their conscience to the great truths of the Word. God, have mercy. We pray, bring people out of dead religion into living faith. Oh, God, do a work in this meeting tonight. After this preacher's finished, may the Holy Ghost not finish, but continue working. Oh, our Father, come now. We have confessed it's more than information that sinners need to be saved. They need an internal revelation that will make them new creatures in Christ. Lord, regenerate the lost tonight. Renew their will. Enlighten their hearts and minds. Bring them to Christ. Father, answer prayer. Part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear. Grant that the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be our portion tonight and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.